right, let's get started with the words. The Buddha's words on loving kindness. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let him be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and quiet and skillful, not proud and commanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting man, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So is everyone cool enough or warm enough? Or I've got the controls now. Bump it up, bump it down. It's good. Everyone's happy. Okay, good. You want it too warm? You might just doze off. I'm kind of in the mood to doze off myself today. Welcome everybody. So today, is there anyone? I know there's at least one person who's not been here before. Had a chat before. You've been on before? I haven't seen you at my previous classes, but I haven't talked for about 3 weeks now. So we had Pop K from the French Monk a couple of weeks back, and Santuti, but usually me and Santuti alternate. So here I am again. And it's good. So that was getting ready to come up here. I was talking to Bob, and he asked me if I had anything prepared today. And I said, well, sort of. I know we're in a tradition, especially started by Ajahn Chah, of giving unprepared talks, and often. I remember quite a while back, the Armidale group, that Rachel Green, when she was running the classes there, said, please prepare your talks. That's okay, because with a bit of practice, it gets a bit easier to ad-lib, and as Ajahn Brahm said, all you need is just to have some idea of what you're talking about, and Recently I've just been I've had some ideas about what I wanted to talk about, but then recently I've just been contemplating the art of metta, so the loving kindness meditation that well, I've got the chant here, which is from the Sutta Nipata, but there's also many passages in the suttas where the Buddha talked about the need for kindness and gentleness and just treating people good and wishing them well. So today, I mean, the last week has been pretty full on. So we're the Stocker Road project is kicking into gear now. So over next door, over the fence there, is 48 Stocker Road, Rollystone. So we're just shifting over from Kelmscott to Rollystone on the border of this property, and we've had first contact with the council, and they didn't throw us out, which is nice. The water board has water board quota has been approved by the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, who owns the property next door. So we'll have some water, we'll have taps there soon, which is very exciting. But in all this, it can all get a bit exhausting. So today, I was thinking about preparing my talk on metta, and I thought, well, the best thing I can do is actually have some kindness to myself and have a little bit of a lie down. So I had a bit of a lie down and read a bit of my detective novel. Just for a bit of relaxation, just to chill out. And so it's interesting, the practice of metta meditation. I know there's several teachers out there. There's probably the most well-known one was... was it Stephanie Goldstein, I think it was? Oh, I've got my name now. But, talks a lot about using mantras and so forth, or just phrases during meditation to spread loving kindness, usually to different groups. That's kind of backed up in the suttas as well. The Buddha talked about spreading metta in the various directions, north, east, south and west, that sort of thing. But I think at the end of the day, it's very, very much an emotional thing. It's, metta is kind of, in a way, an emotion, an intention that people be well, that beings be well, little ants be well, even when they're all over the garbage bin when I take it up the road. But they didn't bite me today. They're kind of chilled out now. They got really aggressive for a while, but it's okay. And just to recognize this emotion and the motivation, you know, to go out and be good to people. But it actually has another side to it as well. It's the practice of letting go. So when something comes up in your mind and you get irritated, or, you know, even sometimes we hold grudges for years and years and years, and if we can learn how to let these things go, then generally what's left is the metta practice that we're sort of inclining towards. Because of this, it's actually quite a relatively uncommonly taught practice, but it is very, very, very powerful. It's something that I practice myself, probably not in a very formal way, not with lots of mantras and stuff, just to recognize that when there's, I get a little bit disgruntled, you know, it's all, a lot of it comes down to not getting what we want. So when we recognize that the mind's going that way, that we're like, oh, you know, really wanted that, I didn't get it, didn't go my way, and we learn the ability to drop it, then that becomes a very powerful practice. I visited my dad on Friday afternoon, and he's been a bit unwell lately and was pretty grumpy. He was very upset with Foxtel. And turned out just a loose cable, but he fixed it. And but I just sort of hung around, didn't try and interfere. I didn't try to press any buttons on his remote control or play around with his wiring, just sort of sat there and just relaxed and let it be. And afterwards, he cheered up. Once he got the fox still going, he said to me, "Oh, you know, it's so nice to have my family around." He said, "I've been feeling a bit down lately." Yeah, you can see that it's not always someone's fault when they get angry. It might just be that there's a bit of just some stuff going on in the background there, whether it's health or councils or whatever. I think someone commented in the car the other day when we visited the Armidale Council that they must have to deal with a lot of angry people who have to apply for permits and applications and things don't go their way. I think if you can learn a bit of netter in those situations, you'll probably go far. and if you don't get what you want, doesn't matter anyway. At least you've developed that kind of loving kindness. So maybe today we can do a loving kindness meditation, and I'll try and guide it in a possibly unorthodox manner, but that's all right because it's a kind of practice that is very much about the heart, about your own emotions. So if it lacks a bit of structure, that's okay, as long as you sort of get a feel for the kind of happiness you get from just developing the mind that inclines that way. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions or anything? And is anyone wondering anything at all? It's all just perfectly clear. You don't need me here at all. Yeah, that's right. Most of us have got some idea of what metta is. So what was I doing last time? It was like 3 weeks ago, I think I was talking about just the inclination towards contentment. This is very much the same thing, where you just give the mind a bit of an instruction on where it's to go, and to kind of just let it go and go downhill in the way it usually does. So kind of put yourself on the slope, and it tends to slide by itself. Okay. So, I think it's time for a meditation. I think everyone's already got a bit of enthusiasm to be here early. So let's start. We can dim the lights. Okay. Oh, you keep that door open just in case someone's late. I don't know. It's right. Only I can see out there, so. I can see all the rakes and brooms and stuff. Okay. Cool. So. Here we're at the beginning of the meditation. Now's the time to get comfortable. There's some very nice chairs here, some very nice cushions, walls to lean up against if you want to lean up against the wall. Make sure that you're nice and relaxed, however you're sitting. Time to inform the mindfulness. To say to yourself, if I get what I want, and I don't get what I want, I will let it be. I will let it go. Just like a rock dropped into the water, it just sinks down to the bottom and it's gone, gone, gone away. Just remember all the hard work, all the effort that's gone into making this place really, really nice to meditate in. Very comfortable room. Nice and cool. Nice and quiet. All the money that's been raised over the years, all that hard work. Have that sense of kindness to all the people that have put that hard work in, so we can just sit here and relax. Beings on the hill here, and the time and lengths, foraging before it gets wet and cold, may they be comfortable, well fed for the winter time. kangaroos, joeys, mummaroos. And they've been safe and well on the hillside here. This little temple on the hill. May it be safe. May it not be threatened. May it be a peaceful, happy place for many years to come. And with a sense of kindness, of appreciation, all those people that come to feed the monks. Monks are very kind, very generous. feeling of kindness in mind. Very warm, gentle feeling that roll down the hill, all the way down to the river, to the little yabbies and fish. May they all be well. May the feeling of matter roll down Scott Road to all of our neighbours. May they be happy and peaceful. May they be at ease. Let the feeling of kindness flow through the valley here, all along Brookton Highway, all the cars, all the people in the cars. May they be well. May they get to their destination safely. Not the feeling of kindness. The intention that all beings be well. Flow up the other side of the hill, up into Rolly Stone. Over to our new property next door. May it all be protected. May it be free from fires, storms, and everyone here in the area be peaceful and kind. Let the peace and kindness that begins in a place like this spread out to the busy parts of the city. Albany Highway, all the way out to the sea. And let the meadow flow out to the east, out through the hills, the plains, the desert, real beings there, be well. At ease and comfortable. as to ourselves, may we be well and happy, may I be well and happy, may all my anxieties and worries, problems, all that dukkha, may it come to an end. I'd be happy. So we come to the end of meditation. And it doesn't matter how close you get to perfection, you made the effort to come here tonight. So say thank you to yourself for having a go. Did you get what you wanted? Oh well, either way, all good. So, does anyone have any questions? There's Bob, thank you.
You don't use a mantra? May I be well, may I be happy, may I live in peace? Or...
Yeah, that's like Sharon Salzberg's way.
That's
Sharon Salzberg. It's just Sharon Salzberg style, yeah. So, yeah, she's like a lay Buddhist, I think. So, part of the crowd out at in America, I think around like Spirit Rock or IMS. In the suttas, it kind of does reflect that style where the Buddha talks about not so much this sutta, which is more of a later one, the one that we chant, but what's repeated over and over again in the suttas is to have this intention of metta, and also the other three Brahma Viharas, which is compassion. Altruistic joy, which is kind of like the opposite of Schadenfreude. So Schadenfreude's like happiness that someone else is suffering, and So there's this idea of mudita. Mudita is the opposite of that, and the equanimity. But it talks about taking these four states of mind. And here we're talking again very much about something that's much more easily grasped intuitively rather than rationally. So these are kind of kinds of intentions that we have, and the Buddha talked about, if I remember correctly, he talked about the four compass points, so the spreading it to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, and above and below.
Yep.
And tall as to oneself, and I think a lot of people teaching metta meditation will go through a very structured kind of list of people, groups, places, and so forth. That's good. Also, I think if you look in the library, you might be able to find a copy of Ajahn Sujato's teacher, Ajahn Mahachachai, who wrote out his way of practicing metta as well. But I think it's fair to say that you can use a bit of artistic license, I think, when you're practicing. And really, it's not a really easy meditation technique to teach, but once you have some sort of object or something that makes you feel that way. You know, Ajahn Brahm likes cats. So.
Yeah.
Ajahn Brahm likes big fluffy cats, and I know on his retreats he'll often has a whole stack of soft toys. Any sort of object or something that you can cultivate that feeling. And for some people, it's not an easy emotion to arouse. Some people are quite sort of protective, defensive, but then sometimes it might be like a much loved relative or someone. Someone's grandmas are easy to love. Usually, though. I'm sure there's some not so good grandmas out there, but there's usually someone or something that you'll feel very comfortable cultivating the metta towards. I've even heard Ajahn Brahm once, when he was doing a sort of guided body sweeping meditation at Jhana Grove, the retreat center down at Serpentine opposite Bodhinyana Monastery. He walked through the body parts, you know, from the toes up to the top of the head, but using metta, having metta to those parts of the body. He was well known for being the only person to be able to start the old cement mixer. Right? So he had the old cement mixer, and eventually they got rid of it, you know, but he kept that going for years and years, and he'd always be able to get it running with a bit of metta. He just gives some metta towards the concrete mixer, and it would work. Yeah, it would work. It would start. So if you've got an old car that you love, and it needs a little bit of metta to get started, that's all good. Or maybe you have someone like Santuti or someone, a good teacher, a good monk, he's easy to have a metaphor. Even when you're living with him and working with him all day, he's a pretty cool guy. Once you're sort of in the habit of it, of cultivating metta, of inclining towards it, then it tends to come up in all sorts of situations. I know there's Ajahn Brahm's story of this woman who was very, very good at practicing loving kindness. And I think she was perhaps in fashion or something, and she wanted to sell some of her, or wanted to market some of her clothes through another company. And she went to the offices, and she had the meeting with the big guy, and you know, they said, "Oh, don't bother, you know, he's that sort of guy, you know, he's gonna blow you off, there's no point coming in here." But she said, "No, it's okay, it's okay." So just sat there and waited in the in the waiting room, and she was just practicing the metta meditation, and then this the big boss comes in, and he's this big gruff, you know, angry businessman, and he says, "What's going on here?" And she just looks at him and says, "You have the most beautiful blue eyes." And he fell for it. he got the metta, and I think she got the job. She got the contract. So, if you've been practicing it long enough, and it can have really have quite a very very good effect on the people around you. I went to see my dad the other night because he's a bit ill, and I was on the train. I caught the train from Kelmscott to Perth, and Irene dropped me off, which is very kind of her. She's here. Where's Irene?
She's close.
Oh, I had to run off. Okay, fair enough. She gave me a lift on Friday after lunch, and I'm sitting there, and some very colourful characters hopped on the train, as they do on the Armidale line. And here's Irene. And I'm sitting across from them, and they're obviously, you know, people who've been had a fair amount of experience with the prison system, and they all look pretty tough, and they were just sort of making the train theirs. And I just I found it very easy, actually, just to sit there and not be afraid. They're obviously trying to be sort of tough and manly and stuff, but it's actually quite easy to have a bit of meta for these guys, you know.
They probably don't. Anybody else could have walked out.
Oh, I just sat there, I'll look out the window, and look at my hands, and I'll just let them be. And they gave me no trouble. And I kind of reflected on the fact that they probably didn't have the many of the same sort of advantages that I've had in life, coming from a wealthy family and wealthy, loving family and nice neighbourhood and stuff. So people often aren't responsible for their characters, I guess, people are often capable of more kindness than you know. So, and it takes a bit of cultivation.
Thank you, Ezra.
No worries. Well, I've got a few more minutes. Does anyone have any other questions? Hey, Lorenz.
Hi, I just had an observation about the Brahma Viharas, which came up for me recently.
Sure. Yeah.
And I realized that mudita was the one I run into first very clearly.
Mm.
And when about 30 years ago, I went back to the States, and I was in a motor vehicle related business, and I looked up all my old friends who might be interested. And there's a couple of them were old car guys.
Yeah,
in the
sense
that they owned our antique cars and were totally into that. As you do, you go around to them, you see all these gorgeous old restored cars,
sure,
and you want them. You know, and then I realized that there's no way I could ever afford or get one back to Australia, and that it was, it was really kind of futile wanting. And then it just spontaneously happened. Mudita happened. Suddenly I was happy for them.
And I
could feel their joy, and I wasn't, a psychological tricking myself.
No,
I genuinely felt and then when I was looking at studying the Brahma Viharas recently, I understand that one.
That's right.
I just thought that was a good example.
And often that happens is that you won't really know what it is until you recognize it in yourself.
Mm.
So that kind of
opposite of Schadenfreude.
The opposite of Schadenfreude.
A wonderful old car had gotten crushed, I would have felt badly for it.
Indeed. Yeah. It's a very positive emotion. It does it's a way of getting happier as well. So a lot of people, maybe if they're looking at putting some effort into that breath meditation or something like that, and it's breath. The breath is kind of a fairly dry method, dry object of meditation at first, and sometimes it helps to, cultivate a little bit of metta at the beginning of the meditation, just and spend a bit of time thinking about your grandma or your cat or Santuti or whatever. And and then it tends to, that sort of happiness tends to flow on from there. And even Ajahn Brahm said that once. He said one day he just decided to practice metta at the same time as the breath, or metta for the breath, and he said it was just fantastic. I hadn't tried this; it was just a new trick that he'd tried, and went really well. And he also said that after a very deep meditation, that's a really good time to practice metta. So if you go on retreat or something like that, one of these 9-day retreats, a weekend retreat or something, you have a very deep meditation, and then you can start having loving kindness for all beings, and it's just so easy. Ajahn Brahm was in the early days practicing with Ajahn Jagra was still the abbot there at that time, so we're talking back in the 80s, early 80s or something, and he'd had a really, really good meditation, and came to the, I think it was the evening chanting, and they were chanting this sutta, the Metta Sutta, and he got so into it, he was almost crying, and it was just... Yeah, so it's...
Ajahn Brahm, almost crying.
Oh, just so happy with the... With it, just like the words meant so much more to him after that very deep meditation. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yeah. So, there's all sorts of, he's got lots of stories to inspire you. So, Okay, so. So your homework for the next week is to have lots and lots of metta for as many people as possible, and beings, and places, and inanimate objects as well. Whatever works for you.
Really?
Yeah, because Ajahn Brahm's argued with Bhikkhu Bodhi. So Bhikkhu Bodhi is the famous scholar who's translated the suttas. You can find them in the library. And he said, you can't have metta for inanimate beings. And Ajahn Brahm says, yes, you can. Why not? You can have metta for the concrete mixer, and it reacts well.
Or the ATM.
The ATM. Oh, that's right. The ATM story. That's good. I'll finish up with that. It was the guy who had always. I got to try and tell it probably. How was it? He used to walk past the. He was a student, I think.
He was a student at the university or something like that. And,
It
was walking past the ATM, and the ATM made some gurgling noises or whatever.
Yeah, he was spreading metta to the ATM, and the ATM started gurgling and coughed up a $20 note. That's true story. And, and he, sorry?
In Europe somewhere,
yes. And he was a very poor, starving student as well. So it's probably 20 euros, it probably wasn't $20, but yeah. That's it. But you don't have to focus on ATM machines. Just the people on the bus, people at Centrelink need lots of metta because life's pretty tough for them.
I'm going to try the TAB. I think.
Well, if you go to the races, you can go out to Ascot and have lots and lots of metta for a particular horse. And see if that works.
Right.
But don't blame me if we get it wrong. But we want a cut if it does win. Okay, so we can finish up for tonight. Thank you so much for your kindness and making me welcome here once again.
Thank you,
Adele. Okay. So, now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, May the highest gods and evil forces, Celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the world of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing. May all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.